You are listening to the Riverside Community Church podcast. For more information, visit us at www.riversideconnect.org.
Today, as we wrap up this series about stepping forward with new resolve, I just want to report to you that there is an epidemic that we live in the midst of this epidemic, and it's highly contagious. It's a condition that makes you fatigued mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. It's an epidemic that leads to all kinds of ills, and including superficiality and selfishness and distractions and depressions and busyness and barrenness. It's not a virus that infects your body, though it, I believe, can lead to being physically ill. It's not a mental disorder that although it does definitely affect the way you think. I would like to say that it's not even a social anxiety disorder, but it can lead to some pretty dysfunctional relationships. It's a disease of neglect. It's a condition of hunger and thirst. And I dare say that we're all prone to succumb to this condition, including myself. It is a disease of being at dis-ease with myself when I've neglected the most important part of myself. What is this condition? Well, for lack of a better term, I'm calling it malnourishment of the soul. That we live with souls that are malnourished. A neglected soul is a malnourished soul. The psalmist in Psalm 42 put it this way: as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. We have a soul that thirsts for God, and when we neglect that soul, it thirsts, it hungers, it becomes malnourished, and it leads to all sorts of problems that we have in life because we ignore the most important part of us. You see, when God breathed into us, into humanity, he made us living souls. And if it's a living soul, it needs nourishment to stay alive. It needs nurture, it needs sustenance. You're a soul. You are made by God. You are made for God. And you are made to need God, which means that you aren't self-sufficient. You need to nourish that most important part of yourself. Later on in that Psalm 42, it says, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. Your soul is the deepest part of you. And the problem is we spend all of our time just floating on the surface of life, going from activity to activity and filling our lives with more stuff, and more entertainment and more work and more busyness. And we rarely dip underneath the surface. We rarely go down deep in our lives and nurture the most important part of us. What is your soul? That's a great question. There's a book that I'm reading that's a great book I recommend. It's called Soul Keeping by John Ortberg. And at the beginning, he describes our soul by using a fable. And if you don't mind, let me just read that fable for you. He writes, "There once was a town high in the Alps that straddled the banks of a beautiful stream. The stream was fed by springs that were old as the earth and deep as the sea. And the water was clear like crystal. Children laughed and played beside it. Swans and geese swam on it. You could see the rocks and the sand and the rainbow trout that swarmed at the bottom of the stream. But high in the hills, far beyond anyone's sight, lived an old man who served as the keeper of the springs. He had been hired so long ago that now no one could remember a time when he wasn't there. He would travel from one spring to another in the hills and remove branches or fallen leaves or debris that might pollute the water. But his work was unseen. One year, however, the town decided that they had better things to do with their money. And so because no one supervised the old man anyway. They had roads to repair and taxes to collect and services to offer, and giving money to this unseen stream cleaner became a luxury they could no longer afford. So the old man left his post high in the mountains. The springs went untouched. Twigs and branches and worse started to muddy the liquid flow, and silt and mud compacted the creek bed, and farm waste turned parts of the stream into stagnant bogs. For a time, no one noticed in the village, but after a while, the water was not the same. It began to look brackish. The swans flew away to live elsewhere. The water no longer had a crisp scent that drew children to play in it. And some people in the town began to grow ill. All noticed the loss of sparkling beauty that used to flow between the banks of the streams that fed the town. The life of the village depended on the stream, and the life of the stream depended on the keeper. The city council reconvened. The money was found, and the old man was rehired. And after yet another time, the springs were clean, the stream was pure, children played again on its banks. Illness was replaced by health. The swans came home, the village came back to life, and the life of a village depended on the health of the stream. Here's the point. The stream is your soul. You're the keeper of the stream. In other words, this inner world needs attending. And if not you, who? Who? We need to attend to our inner world. And when we live on the surface and never go deep, we neglect the most important part of us that helps keep the rest of us right with God and in order with the world. John Ortberg's mentor was Dallas Willard, and a great writer, a great psychologist, Christian writer, recently passed away. And Dallas Willard wrote this. He said, "Our soul is like a stream of water which gives strength, direction, and harmony to every other area of our life. When that stream is as it should be, we're constantly refreshed and exuberant in all we do, because our soul itself is then profusely rooted in the vastness of God and his kingdom, including nature. And all else within us is enlivened and directed by that stream." All of us have an outer life and an inner life. Our outer life is what the public sees. It's the visible me. It's my accomplishments. It's my work. It's my reputation. It's the resume virtues that I want everybody to see, to think highly of me. But my inner life is where my secret thoughts and my hopes and my wishes live. And because my inner life is invisible, it's easy to neglect it. No one has direct access to it, and so it wins no applause. The question that I want to ask this morning is, how do we nourish that inner part of us? How do we nourish our souls? How do we get our souls healthy so the rest of us? And let me just recommend three things. Simple, I put them in terms that might be easy to remember. There are other ways to say this, I'm sure. But three things we need to do, I think, that I will get to. One, we need to pull away, we need to ponder, and we need to pray. Let's talk about this. Okay, pull away. What do I mean by pull away? It's pull away from the busyness. Pull away from the noise. Busyness is that lie that says the faster I go, the more important I am, and the more that I will gain. But life that's stuck in high gear passes by the very life that it is intending to fix and to help. Parker Palmer said that the divided life is a wounded life, and the soul keeps calling us to heal that wound. We live divided lives because we are so pulled in so many different directions, and we're just living on the surface of life. And so when I say pull away, I'm talking about get alone and get quiet. Really, get alone and get quiet. And you might think, well, that's easy. Well, is it really? Is it really? Solitude and silence are necessary for a healthy body. You want to know why? Because you slept last night, did you not? What if you didn't? And what if you didn't sleep another night? And what if you failed to sleep for several nights in a row? What would happen to you? Your body would fall apart. Your mind would fall apart. You'd go crazy. Our bodies need a good 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep every night in order for them to be healthy. God created us with this necessary to be quiet and to be alone. And our physical bodies need that. So does our mental and spiritual bodies need times of silence and solitude to get alone, to be able to get away from the noise and the superficialities of life. We talked about it earlier. Pastor Donnie talked about it up at the mills. I forget who preached it up there, but it talked about needing a Sabbath rest. God worked for 6 days and needed a day. But God said, we will work 6 days and we will rest. And our bodies need that. Our minds need that. Our spirits need that. Jesus often had to pull away from the crowds, right? He had to pull away from the press of the crowds around him so that he could restore his soul. And let me just say this, if Jesus needed to do that, who do we think we are? But we don't need it. We need to pull away. We need to get alone. We need to get quiet. We need to still our hearts. I love what Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. I love what Psalm 112 says, that those who delight in the Lord, in other words, you got to get alone and get away from everything else so that you can delight in the Lord. They'll have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in God, and their hearts are secure, and they'll have no fear. But here's the thing. I am convinced that it is harder today to pull away than ever in the history of time. I just believe that. And you want to know why? Right? We can live, even if you live by yourself, you can be filling your mind with noise and busyness and keep yourself occupied without anybody else in your world, which only increases your loneliness and your sense of separateness. Now, thank God for technology. Thank God that because I have this, I can FaceTime with my family in California, my family in New York, and my new grandson in California. Yeah, last week. So thank God for that. I love it. I love it. I love to be able to communicate instantly with people around the world. I love to be able to do that. I love that I can correspond and do work at home and wherever I am, be contacted at any point. I can be tuned in to what's happening with everybody's world on Facebook, that I can be reminded that people are living a life that's more fun than mine, that looks prettier than mine. I'm so thrilled that I can be occupied with entertainment and news nonstop, and everything is breaking news and everything is popping up and reminding me of how horrible the world is and how important it is that I get angry about this so that I can do something about it, and they can sell more advertisement and they can make more money and they can make me more and more addicted to this thing. I love it. And that's bad. Because I can never get time to just pull away and focus on what is going on in here and what is going on in here. I never have to anymore. I don't have to deal with what's going on inside of me. I can neglect it. I can ignore it. I can pretend that nagging guilt, that nagging habit, that nagging sin, that nagging fear, that nagging hope, those unmet dreams are never dealt with. And I can live looking on the surface like all is well, and inside I could be an empty shell. That is a starved soul. That is a hungry and thirsty soul that knows that it needs something more, and it's not going to get it here. It has to get it somewhere else. We all have that condition. We all fight with that. It's harder than ever, and we must intentionally pull away, because my soul yearns for you in night. I love what Isaiah says. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. your soul truly desires God, and yet we try to fill it with so many other things, and it will never be satisfied. St. Augustine said, our souls are restless until they find their rest in thee, O God. Your inner world needs God. Your inner world needs God. And so the first part of nourishing your soul is pulling away, tuning out the outer world so that you can tune in to what's going on inside of you. And that's a scary thing because we're afraid that we might find out what's going on inside of us. And we may not like it, but how can you ever be healed? How can God ever get in there if we don't take that step of faith and say, God, I'm needing to tune in to the Spirit's voice. I need to get alone so that my soul can get nourished. Our souls need nourishment. But what do you do when you get away? Getting away, just tuning out is one part. There's a lot of great exercises on mindfulness these days, and I'm all for doing that. But once you get to that place of being calm and quiet, what are you going to do about that? And that's where you need to ponder. That's why we pull away and we ponder. Another word for ponder is meditate. A lot of people think meditate, oh, that sounds like Eastern mysticism. No, it's a very biblical thing. When I'm talking about biblical meditation, I'm talking about getting alone with God and letting God's Spirit speak to your heart. By tuning out the world and tuning in to the voice of God. And maybe the first part of tuning out of the world is being mindful of what's going on immediately and what's happening in your world in the moment. But truly being mindful of the Lord is going deep and saying, God, what's going on inside of me? Not just what's going on outside of me. What's happening in my heart? Where am I wrestling? Where am I hopeful? Where am I disappointed? Where am I excited? Where am I, you know, celebrating? If you want to know what meditations are, read Psalms. Because Psalms are basically the meditative thoughts of these writers from long ago who are bringing their thoughts and their emotions before God. Psalms are a collection of meditations. Call them poems, call them songs, but they are meditations of people's inner thoughts. That's why people love the Psalms, because you know it's a little deeper than just telling the story, a historical narrative of what happens. They're about going inside to what's going on in the fears and hopes and dreams and thoughts and wrestlings of humanity before God. Psalms is a great place to start. In fact, the very first psalm was put there for a reason, and the first three verses say the following. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Again, the busyness and the noise of life and everything around you. Blessed is the person that doesn't live in the surface, if I could just paraphrase that, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever they do prospers. You nurture your soul, you prosper. You prosper spiritually, emotionally, in every way. My definition of biblical meditation is this. It's tuning out the outer world in order to tune into your inner world. Meditation is caring for that inner world and caring for your soul. It says to God, God, here are my thoughts. Here are my hopes. Here are my fears. Here are my dreams. And then saying, God, what are your thoughts about me? What do you think about my hopes and my fears and my dreams? God, what are you thinking about me? That's biblical meditation. And so we need to pull away and we need to get alone and get quiet enough to be able to ponder the thoughts of God. And we ponder the thoughts of God by tuning into the Word of God, primarily, and tuning into our own inner turmoil, our inner workings. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. And he went on and he said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. They know my voice. They listen to my voice. And pondering is listening to the Spirit of God. It's pondering God when you wake up in the morning and say, God, thank you. God, before I tune in, turn on the radio. God, before I turn on the news. God, before I do whatever I want to do. God, I want to tune into you. I want to say, God, here I am. It's your day. Be with me today. Walk through this day with me, God. God, you see what my plans are for the day. If you have better plans, God, I'm open to that. God, you know who I'm supposed to meet with today. You know the work I'm supposed to accomplish today. God, I want you to be in the midst of that. It's in the middle of the day, just taking time out and tuning out and closing the door and saying, God, I just want to reconnect here. It's in your waiting thoughts while you're waiting in line at the store, or you're waiting in line in traffic, or you're waiting wherever you're waiting, or just waiting on God and say, God, while I'm waiting, let me wait on you. I want to tune out the podcast, the radio, and the noise and tune out. God, help me to tune in to you. In your waning thoughts at night when you lay your head on your pillow, it's saying, God, I need you to be with me as I sleep tonight and refresh my body, help you to refresh my soul. I want to be healthy on the inside. I want to be whole. I don't want to live a bifurcated life. I don't want to live a dual life. I don't want to live this exterior life that is totally different from what's going on the interior. I want my secret world to match my public world. God, help me to nurture that secret life, that inner self. Help me, God, to nurture my soul. God, I need to pull out. God, I need to ponder you. You need to nourish that soul. Without nourishment, you will starve because your soul is hungering and thirsting after God. And when you don't tune that gut, turn into God, you're going to starve that hunger and thirst to the point where God no longer has a place in your life. And you're living a superficial life. You might put on the front. You might say the right things. You might look good on the outside. But inside, you're an empty shell. That's not what you want. That's not what God wants for you. So we need to pull away. We need to ponder. And then we need to pray. And praying is basically just talking to God. We make prayer much more complicated than it needs to be. Jesus touched on this very thing when he talked about prayer. Matthew 6, he said, don't be like those people who are so wanting to impress others. They're living on the exterior, like those religious people who stand up in public and love to look good. He said, don't be like them. Don't be a hypocrite. He said, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Why did he say that? Because he knows how superficiality spirituality can be, how superficial spirituality can be. He knows that. He knows that we can be fakes. And many of us are just faking it. But he says, get alone with God. God knows your secret thoughts. And you know what? Take those secret thoughts, good, bad, and ugly, and say, God, here they are. Here they are. God, you know my anger. You know my lust. You know my fears. You know my hurt. You know this, God. God, you know about me. And I know, God, that you want me to be healed. So, God, I invite you in. I give you this time. I give you this space. Spirit of God, I welcome you to speak to me. That's what prayer is. It's not just repeating a shopping list and saying, I did my prayers. Check that off. Now what's on Netflix? You know, that's not what it's about. Jesus taught us to pray. I love the Lord's Prayer, don't you? We don't pray it publicly here very often. But a lot of people say, I don't know how to pray. Well, okay, just Matthew 6, pray this. Jesus said, this is how you do it. And you say, well, that's repetition. I'd rather you repeat that than not do anything. I'd rather you repeat what God said to pray, what Jesus said to pray. Because you know what? That's just the beginning of a meditation. That's the beginning of getting your thoughts in the right place. Let that be maybe the way you begin to pray and then see what comes after that. That's not a bad exercise, is it? I don't think you can go wrong doing that, can you? Your inner world needs peace. Oh, I love what Jesus said. Oh, let me back up a second here. It was Eugene Peterson, that passage in Matthew 6 I read. Eugene Peterson paraphrased it. I love how he paraphrases it. He says, quoting Jesus and paraphrasing Jesus' words, he says, "Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace." Your soul needs grace. Your soul needs grace. A graceless soul is a malnourished soul. A soul that is unattended is a starving and hungry soul. It's an empty soul. Your soul is the deepest part of you, and you got to get below the surface to get to it. So let's learn how to tune out the world, how to pause, how to get away, and how to get more of God in our lives. If we do that, you will be more whole and more healthy, because your inner world will begin to be reflected in your outer world. And you'll be a much healthier and happier person. And guess what? The people around you will be too. The theme for this series has been train yourself to be godly, because physical training is of some help, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. We talked about prayer the first Sunday. We talked about being a part of a community. We talked about resting in God, and we're touching on that again today. We talked about worship being more than just singing songs on Sunday, that your life is a life of pouring out, and wherever your heart is, there your treasure is. That's where you're pouring it out. And today we're talking about caring for that inner world through biblical reading, through meditation, through pausing, through pondering and praying to God. So I'd like to conclude this series by all of us praying that prayer that Jesus taught us. I'm going to ask the band to come up before we do that. I should have done that earlier, so let's give them a minute to come. I'll put the words up. If you're not familiar with the Lord's Prayer, you can just read along there. If you grew up in a church that prayed the Lord's Prayer, you might say, "It's trespasses." No, it's debtors. Say whatever you want. I'm quoting, this prayer comes directly out of the New King James Version, so that's where we're reading it from. It's powerful, it's profound. It's not just words in a book. Would you stand with me? After we pray, there will be some people down front on both sides. They'll be glad to pray with you. We're going to sing two songs. One is an old hymn, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Love that old hymn. Till we ponder, until we tune into the voice of God, how are we going to trust God? How are we going to obey God? How are we going to move in God? So feel free to come down if you want some to pray. If you're welcome to come down and just kneel before here, or stand in front if you want, or wherever you are, just let that be your place of prayer. But let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Riverside Community Church podcast. For more information, visit us at www.riverside.org. www.riversideconnect.org.